Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Miss Marilyn, you and I were feeling it, right? That was warfare. Come on now. I was like, I was like, I got another warrior coming up here. I don't know. There's a battle in your life, and God wants the victory. But you got to stand on His promises, church. You can't stand on things of yesterday. You can't stand with that bad cycle of thinking. You can't stand on disbelief. You got to stand in faith that God will, in His way, fulfill the promises that He gives you. Amen? His promises are true only yesterday. What about only yesterday and today? No. Yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. There's not a government in the history that could say that. Ain't gonna last yesterday, today, and forever. Stand on the promises of God, not the promises of man. Hallelujah. Just waiting to hear from God. If you don't know who I am, I'm Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here. And yes, I'm wearing a t-shirt. Act like you don't know. See what it says, though? Living the good life. Isn't that cool? We found it. That's our series right now, is living the good life. My wife found this shirt and says, oh, you should get it and wear it. And for all you Cyclones, it is red. But all you Hawkeyes, it does say Hawkeyes. So y'all can fight in the parking lot if you want. Just get away from the cars. Hallelujah. And then forgive each other, because you'll be forgiven to the measure that you forgive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want to move on, because I know that God, people are still getting ministered to by the Spirit. See, we never have this much feedback. That's how you know the enemy don't like what's going down. Worthy are you, God. Worthy to be praised. Jesus is the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the world. King of kings. And the Lord of lords, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning, and He'll be here at the end. And He's coming soon, church. Are you living the good life? Our focus is this: how to live a generous life in a consumer culture. The Bible talks a lot about eternity. The Bible talks about heaven. And the Bible talks about hell. The Bible also talks about how we should live here on earth until our time is up. How to live the good life in a consumer culture. Church, listen to me now. What you do with your life matters. Okay? Seven people agree with that. It's truth. Miss Marilyn said, and what you don't do matters too. She said it cooler than I did, though. Now she's feeling the anointing. Come on now. I always tell the people in the back, because I like to tease the people in the back, you know it's always hotter when you get closer to the fire, so move on up. Hallelujah. But I gotta go potty. That's why I stand in the back. Okay. I get you. Hold it in the name of Jesus. Command the bladder in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Why not? I want to tell you something personal. So before our son was born in 2012, my wife and I used to go to cemeteries to look for cool names. Act like you've never done that. Come on now. 2012, there just wasn't all these books everywhere, right, that we could find. So we just went, hey, let's walk around that cool-looking cemetery. and get some names. Okay, take off your robe, judge. Y'all judging me right now. You can judge me, but don't you judge my wife. No, but for real, we did. Josh, do I need to do a handheld? Would that be better? Okay. Man, we found some incredible and unique names during those walks. But one thing, the things that I loved the most was this. During those times, we found some really old tombstones, right? Some you could barely read anymore. You had to like kind of dust it off and you could barely read what it said. But I found it amazing to see the people who fought in the Civil War. And all the ones that lived and they died in the 1800s. It was pretty cool. Each tombstone we looked at, new or old, they had the same thing about them, church. They had a name, they had some dates, and then they had a dash. I couldn't help but notice that when it was all said and done, their entire lives were reduced to two dates and one dash in between. I'd look at the dash of a particular person's tombstone and I wonder what they lived for. Who did they love? What were their passions and their dreams? What were their biggest mistakes and their greatest regrets? I wonder what their favorite victory was in life. Were they saved? Did they share the gospel of Jesus with a bunch of people? And I wonder if I'm ever going to be able to meet them in heaven someday. Said, I visited your gravestone. Pleasure to meet you. So lots of emotions and questions raced through my head and my heart as I looked at their dash. Today's sermon is titled, Your Dash. Now God controls life and he gives life and he controls all life. What we control is only what we choose to do in the time that God has given us in our dash. Church, we don't own anything, but we steward all things. There's not much you can take with you when you pass on from this short life. You can't take possessions. You can't take your pride. You can't take earthly success. You can't take money. You can't take your earthly love. You can't take anything offered from this world on with you into eternity. But what you can take with you, though, is this: everything that is eternal. The Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 20, says, don't store up your treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break in and steal. Store up your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Hallelujah. I'm going to grab this mic. Josh, will you switch me over to this, please? With the time that you're given here on earth, what you leave behind should be something that lasts, something that is remembered. Because the only things that are eternal will last forever. What your life should leave behind is a legacy of Christ and his love and his power. Romans 14:8 says this, if we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it is to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or we die, we belong to the Lord. So if you're hearing this sermon right now, you are alive. But I want to ask you, how are you living? What are you doing with this precious time, this gift, this test here on earth? What you do with your dash matters. Each one of us has a date on the left, and if Christ doesn't return, each one of us will have a dash, and then we'll have a date on the right as well. life is unspeakably precious and unbelievably short. The older I get, the more I realize that this life is the short life. James 4:14 says this, "How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It is here a little while and then it's gone. What you do with your life matters. Church, how you invest your life matters. Although short, your dash matters." King David reminds us of this song that he wrote 3,000 years ago. He reminds us how quick this life really is and how God doesn't want us to waste it. Psalm 39:4 and 5 says this, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered, how fleeting my life is. You've made my life no longer than the width of my hand. My entire lifetime is just a moment to you at best. Each of us is but a breath." Raise your hand if you got to decide when you were born. We don't get to decide when we're born, and we don't get to decide when we die. But we do get to decide what we do with our dash. Here at First Open Bible, we're getting into this sermon series on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights called Living the Good Life. It's all about how we can and we should live generous. Live a generous life in this consumer culture. And when we think about generosity, do most of us think about giving? Raise your hand if that's what you think when you talk about generous. Sweet. Most people reluctantly went, "Pastor sometimes tricks me." Most of the time when you talk about generosity, you think about giving. But giving isn't just about money. You can give people more chances than they deserve. You can give people time that others wouldn't give the time of day to. You can give mercy, grace, and love to your enemies. You can give possessions, money, to the ones that are in need and to the purposes that will outlive your life. You can give your time, your talents, and your treasures to your family, to your church, to your work, and to your friends. Church, God is calling you to give up your life so you can live the good life. Come on now. You don't believe me? Matthew 16:24-26 says it. "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me will find it. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or can anyone give in exchange for their soul?'" Matthew 16:24-26. Church, you want to know what the good life is? It's giving up this earthly life for an eternal one. Giving our life away so Jesus can be glorified through us is living the good life. Investing into eternal things is being generous in a consumer culture. You can with Jesus live different. You can love different. You can give different. You can be different. Because you understand something most people don't. You understand what matters most about this short life. And what matters most in your life, that's going to be found in your dash. So I want to ask you something. Is your dash filled with eternal things or temporary things? Are you dashing to live by chasing things that don't really matter to the kingdom of God? Or are you living the dash knowing fully well who you are and why you are here? For however long that may be. Now, you know, as a pastor, I've been a pastor for many years now, and I've had the privilege of ministering to people during their last months, days, and hours of their lives, just like recently I was able to do with Scott Phillips. I've noticed something very common in all these opportunities with each one of them. When people know they only have a few weeks or days to live, they get amazing clarity about how they should spend their time. They focus on relationships. They say things they had always and should have always said. They get real with God, and they share their faith with as many as possible. They forgive, and they ask for forgiveness. And here's one thing, that they don't waste time on insignificant or trivial things. But they make the absolute most of their time left in their dash. I want to ask you a question. How would you live if you knew you had one more month left to live? Church, would you love different? Would you live on purpose, not existence? Would you share the gospel of Jesus every chance that you got? I want to ask you, how would you read your Bible? How would you worship King Jesus? What would you say to the ones that are in your life right now? How would you treat your enemies? And how would you be generous in this consumer culture? Proverbs 27:1 says this. Don't brag about tomorrow, since you don't know what the day will bring. Man, if that ain't truth, I don't know what is. That's for real. Another way to say that is, church, you're not promised tomorrow. We're not. And what matters most to you in this short life will be found in your dash. So today's a day that we can ask the Lord to help us. Aren't you thankful that our God is a helping God? He doesn't just sit up there with strings. He gets intimately in your life. If you don't believe it, I don't know if you felt his presence this morning. He cares. He loves you. He wants more for your life. He died for more, church. And sometimes we give him. But today's a day that we can ask the Lord to help us fulfill the purpose for which we were created. God can help us to live on purpose for a purpose and fill our dash with eternal things. Come on. But first you need to know something. Your life is a gift. Think about that. The world says that you got all these rights, things that you deserve. A bunch of prideful, arrogant people trying to get you all prideful and arrogant. The fact of the matter is, the Bible teaches us that this life is a gift. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. For God bought you with the highest price. He bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body. What's the purpose of life? There's two verses for you to chew on for a while. Church, I want to ask you, do you understand that this short life is a gift? Do you? Honestly, if you do, say yes. If not, just don't say nothing. This short life is a gift. That's why it says, be thankful in all things. Even in trials and tribulations, for Jesus has overcome the world. And he will be with us to the very end of the age. Do you understand that you are called to live and honor God with your bodies? Listen, for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, our dash is no longer our own. The big questions of life, right? The big questions that everybody asks, they switch to things like this. What am I doing with the life that God has gifted me? And another question is, how am I stewarding what Christ has paid at the highest price? Our God is the Creator, he's the Redeemer, and he's the Savior of the world. And church, he wants your dash. Because your life matters. Now everybody gets to a point in their life where they have to make a decision to live for something or to live for someone. I want to extend an offer to you this morning. Live the good life by following Jesus Christ. I want to extend another offer to you. I want to extend this offer to give your life away so you can gain it. I want to extend an offer to you to fill your dash full of eternal things as you live a life of generosity. Live for something bigger, better, and last longer than yourself. The Lord of good gifts, he's...
But you ain't gonna win, enemy. You're just gonna make me mad. In the name of Jesus. Somebody out there in TV land or whatever you call it, this message is for you. That's why you can't get it. These people can hear me. I talk loud. But somebody's got to hear it out there. You need to be set free. The enemy is trying to distract. We've never had this much trouble on microphones in a long time. Give your life to Jesus. He loves you. He sets you free. 2,000 years ago, he died on the cross for you to set you free. I don't know what you're going through, but you got to get to this house. We're going to be here another 20 minutes. You got to run to the church house because God wants to, we want to lay hands on you and set you free. If you're out there right now and you need to hear this word, we implore you to come now. You got to come now. Come now. Bring your friend. Bring your family. I don't care if you're in pajamas. It don't matter. Come to the church house. God loves you. The enemy's trying to fight something here today. Because this is all about our life. God, you are good. He's the God of good gifts. And you know, he's very wise. He knew exactly what he was doing when he created you, and he's well pleased that you exist. Somebody needs to hear that. And in Christ, he's given you everything you need to accomplish and fulfill the purpose for which you were created. He's given you everything you need to live a life that pleases him, church. The Master, King Jesus. He's coming back and he's coming again soon. Come on. Everybody who likes eschatology be like, hey, come on. That was good preaching. He's coming on the clouds. Fire in his eyes, sword from his mouth, on that horse. He's coming. You know, he came as a lamb, but he's coming back as a lion. You know what he's going to do? He's going to settle up with everybody. Mayors, governors, vote, by the way. You got to vote. Vote Bible, not party. If you vote party, then, hey, I'm telling you, you're going to go before God one day and be like, man, why did you vote like that? You know that person doesn't want anything to do with Jesus at all or anything that I have to do or any things that I taught in the Word. You got to vote policies, principles, not parties, okay? See, God's going to settle up with everyone. A mayor, governor, president, CEOs, movie stars, fathers, mothers, factory workers, the rich and the poor and the young and the old. He is going to settle up with me and with you. And on that day, Jesus is going to want to know something. What did you do with your dash? He's going to want to know what you did with the life that he gave you. He ain't going to ask your auntie. He's going to ask your grandma. He ain't going to ask your boss. He's not going to ask your spouse. He's not going to ask your parents. He won't ask your kids. He won't even ask your friends. Jesus is going to only ask you. You're still alive. So I extend the greatest offer to you today. Gift of salvation and a rededication to the one thing that only really matters in this life. It's your relationship with the one true God. But you got to give your life to Jesus and recognize your life is a gift. It's a gift. He wants to set you free. I implore you to choose Jesus. Choose him not just today or every Sunday, but choose him every day. To live every month as if you only have one more left to live. Church, you gotta love like your days are short. Listen like it's the last time you can. Speak up like it's someone's last chance for grace. Give your life away so God can be honored through your dash. Your life is a gift from God. And church, your dash matters. Now, if you're hearing this message, there's still time. There's still time. No one is too far gone. I don't know what you came in with today. I don't know what lies from the enemy. I don't know what you did. You think you're the chief of sinners. You think you're the greatest one of all. You think you got nothing, that God wouldn't want you. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a lie from the enemy. You are never too far gone. Grace can reach to the depths of the oceans. It can go deeper than anything. You are not too far gone. What you have done is not too bad. Jesus died for it all. He loves you. He wants this message for you today. There's still time. You got to ask God to help you live your dash well. But you got to give Jesus your life first. John 3:16-17 says this: "For God so loved the world, he gave. He gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world like the world is trying to say to condemn it. That's not true. This is why he sent his Son, to save the world through Jesus. He is the Savior of the world. He came that not one shall perish, but you have to make the decision. God's Son Jesus took your place to die on a cross 2,000 years ago. He suffered and died for us, so when we die, if we have faith in him and he is the Lord of our life, Lord means that he runs it, you don't. Drugs don't. Mindsets don't. Somebody else doesn't. Pain, sorrow, depression doesn't run your life. Jesus runs your life. Right? Pain, unforgiveness, and bitterness doesn't run your life. Jesus will run your life. He's the Lord of your life. Past abuse, when you give Jesus your life, will not run your life. He will transform your mind and your soul if he is the Lord of your life. He wants to set you free from that. Somebody here, that wasn't your fault. That wasn't your fault. It wasn't your fault. Jesus was there and he's here now and he wants your life. If you If you give him your life and you have faith in him and you believe that he's the Lord of your life and that's how you act to the best of your ability every single day, what's going to happen? You're going to be freed from sin and you're going to be saved from eternal death. When we truly give Jesus our whole life, he will change the way we love people. He'll change the way that we see this world and most of all, the way we live in our dash. There's an incredible promise from God that is found in the book of Romans. It says this, Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, not me, Jesus, you are Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, because ain't no other God been raised from the dead, because they all fake gods. That's right. That's right. Those gods are dead. Our God is alive. You will be saved. Church, I think it's appropriate this morning that we stop and we think about our dash. And the eternal resting place after our dash. God's given you an opportunity right now to accept the perfect gift of salvation. I remember being in church at ninth grade and hearing for the first time, that God loved me the way that I am right now, and he loves me enough that he wants to set me free from all the things that don't look like him. And I couldn't believe that God would love me like that. Why? Because I was so hard on myself, and I thought all these terrible things, and I'm just a nobody. I'm just somebody in the crowd. He said, no. I handpicked you. I died on the cross 2,000 years ago for you, and there is salvation in my name. If you give me your life, I will change your life forever. There's grace here for you. The way that you are right now, I see that, and I love you through it. And I want to get saved every week. Because there's something about that feeling when you first give Christ your heart and you mean it. It'll change forever, church. You'll never be the same person ever again. A woman, a man, drugs, alcohol, they won't satisfy your life. They won't give you the love that you need. His love is perfect. I want to give you a chance right now to accept this kind of love. Accept Jesus into your heart. Maybe it's the first time in your life, or maybe it's a rededication, because one time you did, but you've been living different. You haven't been living under that grace. You haven't been living under that freedom. You don't know what it's like. You haven't really truly given God your whole life and realize it's a gift and say, you're the Lord, not me. I need you to run this thing because I'm making a mess of this. With every head bowed and eyes closed. What I'm saying right now has touched your heart and stirred something inside of you. I want to ask you to raise your hand right now. Raise your hand. Keep it raised. I see those hands. Hands all over this place. Keep those hands raised. Hallelujah. Keep them up. Now, if your hand is raised, I want to ask you to pray this prayer with me out loud here in just a moment. The Bible says if you confess before men, Jesus will confess before his Father when you get to heaven. So don't be afraid. If you can't do it here, you'll do it nowhere. This is a safe place, church. Praying this prayer from your heart means that you want to live a new life, a changed life for the rest of your earthly life. This prayer means that you will ask Jesus to forgive your sins and you will now forever follow Jesus and his ways and how to live and how to love. When you make this decision through this prayer, you'll be forgiven and you'll be a child of God. Let me tell you, it's not the end. It's just the beginning of a lifelong transformation. If that's you, if you raised your hand, every head bowed and eyes closed, raise your hand again and keep it up as you're praying. This is either the first time you've done this or a rededication. I want you to repeat after me out loud. Say this, dear God, I admit that I have done some ugly things. I ask for your forgiveness for my sins. Thank you that you, Jesus, paid the price on the cross for me. I put my faith in you, and I believe you rose from the grave And I ask you, Jesus, into my heart now, I'm ready to take part in a new life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as I give my dash to you. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. If you raised your hand, there are people standing in the back. That's our altar team. They would like to talk to you today. You got to come find them, and they're going to come find you. And they're standing because they want to talk to you. Church, before we go, I want you to take out your elements for communion. Okay? Probably put them away so that I'm going to have a snack later. I don't know. Make sure you flip it upside down and get that little bread. Otherwise, you're going to be helping us clean the carpets later. So peel the little bread back. What is communion? Communion is a memorial of the cross that Christ took for us. Communion reminds us of the highest price that Jesus, the Lamb of God, had to pay for the forgiveness of our sins. See, here at First Open Bible, we have a thing called open communion. That means that you don't have to be a member of this church. You just have to be a believer. You have to be a Christian to join us. Now, everybody who raised their hand and said that prayer, this is going to be the first time you get to do this with us. Welcome to the family of God. Before we partake in the elements of communion, I want to read you a poem. There's a famous poem from an author named Linda Ellis, and it's titled The Dash. Now listen to me here. I read of a man who stood to speak at a funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates of the tombstone from beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of the birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between those years. For the dash represents all the time that they spent alive on earth, and now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could slow down enough to consider what is true and real, and always try to understand the way other people feel, and be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering that this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, their life's actions to rehash, would you be proud of the things they say about how you spent your dash? Hallelujah. Please take out the elements. I'm going to invite you to do something with me this morning. But this is for all the ones that want Jesus to lead their dash. I'm going to ask you in just a moment to stand right where you are. If you want to dedicate your life to the glory of God and give him your dash, will you please stand with me right now? With this dedication, we're going to give Jesus what is rightfully his. We're going to remember what Jesus paid 2,000 years ago on Calvary. Jesus gave us something to live for that's going to outlive us. Church, your dash matters. Jesus paid the highest price for it. 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 24 says this, "For I pass on to you what I've received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. When he broke it into pieces, he said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you that you loved enough that you gave the highest price. Jesus, thank you for willingly going to the cross to set us free. We remember today. God, we dedicate our dash to you right now because we remember that you gave everything. So we're going to give the rest of us. Holy Spirit, will you help us? Guide us, shape us, mold us, bring us back to the Word. Put a fire inside of us. Open our spiritual eyes to see and our spiritual mouths to speak. Our hearts to be open with compassion of Christ. To live like this is the last month that we have. God, we give you our dash and we remember this morning, Jesus, what you did for us 2,000 years ago on that cross that should have been ours. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may partake. All right, now you can flip it open. Peel it back. I'm going to keep reading in 1 Corinthians in chapter 11. It says this in 25 and 26. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's pray together. Jesus, I read in your word that you, it says that you didn't really want to have to do it, but you did it. You were in the garden and you thought of us today at this very moment. You thought of our neighbors, thought of our family members, wayward sons and daughters. You thought of the ones that we love, the coworkers that we have. You thought of the people in the grocery store or in the checkout line. You thought of the ones that are at the DMV. You thought of everybody, even the DMV. God, you thought of everybody. It says in your word, it said, if this cup will pass from me, let it. But you willingly died on the cross. You gave up your blood. You gave up your life for us. And it says in your word that this blood washes our sin as white as snow. We come to you with filthy rags, and you put your coat of righteousness, your pure coat of righteousness upon us, and you put a ring on our finger, and you throw a party when we come back to you, God. So we remember this morning. We thank you for all the salvations today. Because of the blood that was poured out for us 2,000 years ago, we give you our dash. And for everybody that is struggling, that doesn't know what to do, the ones that are hurting, let's be reminded of the blood that was poured out for us. That the blood of Jesus was enough. The blood of Jesus is our strength. The blood of Jesus washes us as white as snow. The blood of Jesus conquers all things. We thank you, Lamb of God, for what you did. We remember this morning and we give you our dash. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may partake. Our church right in front of you, unless you're in the front row behind you, there's a place to put these. I want to say one thing before we go today. First off, I want to say this. We love you. So glad that you are a part of this church body, this family of God. But I want to say this to you. It's good to be challenged in church. I love that this church for 80 years has been allowing the Spirit of God to move and challenging words that change our life. But here's your test. What are you going to do about it? How is your dash going to change today? And if you don't know what to do, get in your prayer closet, read God's word, and ask him to help. If you need a breakthrough in your life, call the church office this week. We want to pray for you. We want to do something for you. We want to help you however we can. But your dash matters. Go change the world because the world changer lives in you. We love you. Let's worship the King before we go.
We haven't sang this song for a while, but I'm so thankful that the word says even though Jesus could have called legions of angels and come down off that cross, his love held him there. I'm thankful for that. So I want to sing this whole song together as the body of Christ in remembrance of that since we just took communion. Let's give him our gratitude for what he did. did for us. Broken world with broken people, need a savior and a friend. You followed love to its conclusion, to Calvary's bitter end. Through the darkness and my weakness, Lord, you are faithful through and through. Blood poured out in sweet submission has made my life anew. And your love held you there upon that cross. My old life behind me, I count it as loss. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Your glory's brightest through my pain. Your love held you there upon that cross. You were called a man of sorrows, for you felt sorrow when you came. You did, Jesus, but you were glorified through suffering. When you bore my sin and shame, yeah. When you bore our sin and shame, and your love held you there upon that cross. My whole life behind me, I count it as loss. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Your glory's brightest through my pain. Your love held you there upon that cross. You never gave in, Jesus. You followed through till it was finished. You never gave in. My sin nailed you there, but your love held you there upon that cross. Thank you, God. The weight of this world through you I can bear. In love I will carry this cross right through my dash, Lord. You never gave in. My sin nailed you there, but your love held you there upon that cross. The weight of this world through you I can bear. In love I will carry this cross. Oh, for your love held you there upon that cross. My old life behind me, I count it as loss. To live is Christ, to die is gain. Your glory's brightest through my pain. Your love held you there. Oh, your love held you there on that cross. And I thank you, Jesus, my old. Christ, to die is gain. Your glory's brightest through my pain. Your love held you there upon that cross. Upon that cross. Jesus, we thank you. You came among us. You took on flesh. You lived among us. But you died that today we could say we live in you, Lord God. And Lord, eternity matters, Lord. So much so that you said, look, you are my ambassadors. I want you to go out there in that world and call people by the power of the Holy Spirit, by Him ministering through you. I want you to call them to the foot of the cross so that they can be forgiven of their sins. If they would just call upon the name of the Lord, if you would confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Thank you for the gospel. And Lord, Holy Spirit, fire us up, Lord God. There's a whole generation out there, Lord God, that is lost, Lord. Fire us up, God, that we would live well in the dash, Lord, in the time we have. That we would go and not just make church members, but make disciples, Lord God, of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We give you thanks, Lord. We thank you for the word spoken through the pastor today to us as a body of believers, Lord. Now let us live it out in the dash of our lives. And the church said, amen. Thank you for coming out. God bless you guys. Go live your dash well.